Hey, it's me, Gary. What's been happening on the Adventure Zone graduation? Well, the Thundermen were sent on a real-world assignment to go help two centaur herds solve a dispute over a magical apple. But actually, Higglemiss Wiggenstaff, the sidekick and hinge person Annex Dean, sent them to collect that apple so that they could use it to turn his brother back into an elf from a dog. It makes sense if you've listened to the past episodes. So anyways, the Thundermen are trying to figure out how to get that apple without getting anybody mad at them. And also, the Fearbulg is worried that Althea Song, the investigator from the Heroic Oversight Guild, knows all about this stuff because she might have listened in through a bug she gave him to record his conversations. So let's find out what happened, shall we?
Travis, take me away. Fly this fur bog as high as you can into your imagination.
Who's eating bones?
No, I'm warming up my dye. I'm getting them all hot.
No, Griffin's right. It sounds like you're about to do some scrying.
We didn't need them last time. I don't think there's much reason to think we'll need them this time.
Roll for initiative. Everyone's trying to kill you. Is that what you want? Huh? No story, no character work, just swinging an axe at you?
I just want to cross blades and spells with the band of brave adventurers at my side. I just want to go, I want to fight a fucking dragon, Trav. I want to get some bibs. I want to get some gold and buy a house.
Well, here's the thing. You're going to fight some babes, you're going to get some dragons, and you're going to buy some golds.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. So, when last we left the Thundermen LLC, we had just arrived at the camp of the Centaurs of the Scarlet Woods, and you had walked in, and you'd found Althea there. And we're going to pick right back up where we left off. So Malwyn the Strong, the leader of the Centaurs of the Scarlet Woods, turns to you and says, yes, so if there is anything the Thundermen need, you, of course, you've already met Diana. She can help you with anything. Oh, and there's also Calhane. Calhane can help you. So if anything you need, Diana can also take you over to the camp of the Centaurs of the Valley, if you need, and they can help you over there. So what can the Centaurs of the Scarlet Woods do for you to help with your investigation?
I have a question.
Okay.
It is important with any small business to understand the needs of the client. What do you consider a success in this situation?
Well, thank you so much for asking. I'm also, this is Travis. I have no idea if this is what Malwyn sounded like last time, but it is now.
Welcome to running a Dungeons & Dragons game. Make it up and just sound confident. No one has to know. You're just one guy with just one brain. The weight of the world on your shoulders.
Okay. Thank you so much for asking. I'm going to say us having the apple to burn in a sacrificial fire, and the spirit of the Scarlet Woods being pleased. I mean, I guess the one is for the... As long as the spirit of the Scarlet Woods is happy when all is said and done, that's good. That's a good result.
How will you know?
Well, that's a bit trickier because up till now, we've just been doing the same thing year after year, and it has continued to be good. So that was kind of... We don't have any, like, control group kind of tests against that to see if anything else would be good. But so what we know works is burn apple in special, like, sacred fire. Spirit of Scarlet Woods equal happy.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think the spirit of the Scarlet Woods would enjoy a 50% rebate mail-in coupon for a year-long subscription to Boy Cloaks magazine? Because I have one of those right now, and we could just be done with it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm pretty sure if the spirit wanted to read Boy Cloaks magazine, he probably wouldn't need to buy it. It's a spirit, right? It could probably just go look at it wherever.
What you just said is actually a lot wilder than what I said. I suggested your Holy Spirit.
I'm thinking about this on the fly. I've never thought about it before.
Well, that's us. We're innovators. Yeah, I think we'd like to explore sort of non-Apple-based solutions. And then we'll go talk to the Centaurs of the Valley and see if we can discover a sort of non-Apple-based solution. Because Wisdom of Solomon, baby, what if no one gets the apple?
But the whole thing is based around the apple. We've been doing this for as long as I can remember.
It's a great tradition, and I love it, and I respect it, but you got to diversify your portfolio, try offering up an ear of corn, or maybe a potato.
The risk is too great for any kind of deviation at this point. The trial and error, if we were to displease the spirit of the Scarlet Woods, we would all suffer. We could potentially, if the weather was bad enough, and the hunts were bad enough, could be devastating to our herd.
If I may, I believe we have a communication problem. What my friend is saying is, what you want is hard. So if we convince you easier thing is just as good, this is good for us.
Yes.
No, I got that.
I think she did actually understand that, Master Fjolborg. I wouldn't have said that part out loud. It kind of casts us in a bad light.
Yes. In hindsight, I can see this. Your request for proposal is a stringent one, but we will try to honor your RFP with limited deviation.
Have there been years where the apple was, like, undersized or, not quite as, fulsome?
A little gamey?
Of course. I mean, we didn't eat it. There were years where the spirit of the Scarlet Woods was not as pleased with the sacrifice. So, the apple must have been... in some way lacking, must have been in some way displeasing to the spirit, because we have then had bad weather that year.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yes, the hunts were, a little more difficult than normal, so there must have been something wrong with the apple in those years. But that is rare. That is rare. In my time as leader, I could count, on two hands how many times we've had bad years.
I think let's explore our options just to see what's available to us. The three of us will go and have a discussion with the spirit of the woods, the Scarlet Woods, not just any woods.
Yes.
And just sort of see where they're at, explain to them our sort of apple crisis. And that maybe they'll be completely understanding about it. They'll be like, yeah, we'll take a pass on it this year. We still have some apple left over from last year that you burned all up. And then, maybe you'll still get the apple, maybe you won't. But it's nice to know, won't it? Just sort of where they're at.
If you could meet with the spirit and get some kind of direction or guidance from them, that would be amazing.
Cool. So is there like a magic tree we have to knock on to make them come out? Or do we need to ritually like murder someone in the woods? Because I'm not cool with that.
We already did that. We already murdered somebody, so we've got equity.
That's true. We did that. So if that's the ticket, we just got to go back to that one murdering spot.
Well, the spirit of the Scarlet Wood resides in the Scarlet Woods, about a 3-hour ride from here.
Oh! Horseback ride, or?
Oh, I guess, yes, for you.
Oh, right. Yes, I suppose it's all horseback.
I mean, that's not how we think about it, but yes,
no,
I suppose.
It would be totally wild if that is how you thought about it.
Did you bring horses with you?
Did we bring horses? How the fuck do we get around?
Well, you rode horses to the last town, and then
you parked your
horses and left them for fear of offending the centaurs.
That's right, yes. I guess we could go find our... I hope we hitched them. I don't really know a lot about horses. I think
they
we just kind of left... Yeah, I think we just kind of left them, though, like in the street.
No, you returned them to the rental... They have depots all over the place.
Oh, I see. Yeah, all right.
Those bicycles, you just take out the rack and run your car through. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly like that, Dad. Not like car rental places, which is what I was probably referencing.
Right. So
no,
we'll
I do often think about that, though, because in the Old West, people seem to just be grabbing horses from places and leaving them all over the place.
And they didn't even really tie them. They just, like, threw the reins over a bar and the horse somehow knew to stay there.
There must be lots of times where, like, the sheriff of town is like, what are we going to do with all these extra horses?
Maybe that sounds like it'll be a really funny sight gag in A Million and One Ways to Die in the West.
Right.
The sequel to.
And maybe we can do a thing where he gets his rental horse from the Alamo, since that also shares its name with a car rental company.
There's
something
mark.
Like what I just said wasn't funny, but once Seth gets his hands on it, he's going to punch it up in a way that's going to make us all bust it.
Because he'll get it from like the actual Alamo, and maybe it'll be in the basement, and that will be like a nice like tie, you know, you get it.
Sure. Okay. Well, draw us up a map. We'll hitch our ponies and ride like a cowboy on my steel horse.
Do you need to borrow some of our horses?
You have horses?
Yes, we have a lot of goods and materials to bring with us to set up camp. We can't carry all of that. We have horses and wagons.
Are you going to charge us?
No.
Oh, okay.
You're working for us.
He has to ask it.
It's business. It's business.
Cool. That's a plan.
Althea rises from the table and says, "Well, it seems like you boys have got this all under control. I'm staying in a tent just to the right of Malwin's here. If you need me, you know where I'll be. But I am just an impartial observer here, so I'd rather not directly help with the mission. But if you need to talk or, I don't know, if there's anything I can do for you, just come find me and let me know."
"Althea, may I speak with you privately?"
"Yes, of course. Do you want to step over with me to my tent?"
"Thank you."
Before you go, do you think that's a good idea for Bulk? I mean, you know, you can't lie to her, you know.
This is an excellent point, but I will have no use for subterfuge.
Okay. Be careful. Go with whatever gods you go with.
Well, yeah, Dad makes a good point. Let's take a break from the story and just talk about the Fearbulg's theological
beliefs. Let's talk about the Fearbulg's journey with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, where are we at? Where are we at? How's this walk?
I don't want to. It's very private.
Okay.
Between him and
the Fearbulg and Althea make their way over to Althea's tent. Walk in. It's, you know, pretty sparse. There's a bed and a small table. It doesn't look like she brought much with her.
Can I tell you something? Fun fact, though.
What?
The Fearbulgs worship a deity named Grand Peak Smasher.
Hell yeah.
Who used to play for the New England Patriots.
And she, you know, holds the flap and ushers you in. And she says, yes, what, is everything okay?
You know that I cannot tell a untruth.
Yes, of course.
So I will ask this directly. Did you hear our conversation with Higulmus?
No.
I'm going to roll insight.
Okay.
We got a 17 plus 4, 21.
Everything about what, her body language, her eye contact, just the tone of her voice makes you think that she is completely sincere.
Okay. So she's either telling the truth or an extremely, extremely good liar.
I mean, to beat a 21, she'd have to be an extremely good liar.
Is the bug still functioning?
Oh, yes, of course. It channels to this crystal. I brought it in case you needed it, but I have not listened to it. That would be an invasion, a supreme invasion of privacy. I wouldn't do that.
I would very much like this crystal.
Of course. And she hands it over to you.
Okay.
And she says, but, and I will say this, I will choose my words carefully, remembering that you cannot tell a lie. Is there something you want to tell me?
No.
Okay. Just know, I'm here. We discussed this. If Higulmus is in any way infringing on your will, on your ability to make your own decisions, I am here for you. I want you to think of me as a friend.
This is something that must be earned. Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
This crystal you have given, this is a good start.
Well, I'm glad. I want you to be able to trust me.
Do you have any advice on our mission? It seems very challenging.
It does seem a difficult path to navigate. I don't want to get too directly involved, but I would say it's important to form a whole picture, to understand not just what the leaders want, but what the individuals want. What do they really want? Not what do they do, what do they expect to happen, what are the things that, you know, but what do they want? What is the outcome? And work backwards from there.
This seems like sound advice. I hope when I have risen to your station, I can provide such sound guidance for the next generation of entrepreneurs.
Thank you, I think.
This is great compliment.
Excellent. Well, I'm
mentorship
absolutely
is
flattered.
Sacred. And our duty to lower a hand to rise up the next generation of entrepreneurs.
Well, thank you, Master Fearbolg.
I, too, receive such guidance from you today, and this sacred bond shall not be forgotten.
Okay. Well, is there anything else I can do to help? Is there anything else you need?
Do you have another magic apple?
No, I don't.
Then there is nothing. Thank you. I will take my leave.
It is strange, though, isn't it?
The magic apple, yes.
Yeah.
It's a magical apple.
Have you?
I have never seen its like in all my days in the forest.
You examined the tree, yes?
Yes, it seemed perfectly normal. Almost too normal.
Yes, there's no dirt. It hasn't grown in as long as anyone can remember. Why would it change now?
I have been wondering this. I have wondered another thing. The seeds from the other apples. I know some were burnt, but others, no. And I have wondered what has become of these seeds.
I don't know. It's good question, though, Master Fearbulk.
Who was saying, don't know, Travis or Althea?
Althea does not know.
Okay.
I know everything.
Sure.
And if not, you'll make it up.
I would never. I actually have written down in my notes here, this is where the Fearbulk asks about the seeds.
Whoa.
I
have... Have you had dealings with centaurs?
Yes. In my travels, I've worked with centaurs before.
I barely understand my roommates. What can you tell me of the centaur nature?
Now, are you asking specifically about these two herds?
Yes. Yes.
Well... I didn't want to get involved, too involved, so
You've made this clear.
I will give you one piece of information. And you know, I'll just save you some time asking around, because I'm sure it would come out eventually. There was a time when Malwyn, the leader of the Centaurs of the Scarlet Woods, and Arturus, the leader of the Centaurs of the Valley, were engaged to be married.
But it did not go well?
No. There reached a point in the marital negotiations where it had to be decided whose herd would be joining whose.
Yes.
And neither one was willing to cede leadership of the herds to the other.
And you have checked around for a second magic apple, right? You're pretty clear that you do not have it.
Oh, yes. I don't have much in the tent. If it was under the bed
it's
or...
It's just that your sounds are very complicated.
Oh?
Your way of dealing with this, the intrapersonal, is really more of a territory of human resources.
I see. Well, then perhaps you can discuss it with your CEO and your CCO and see if you can figure it out together. Maybe your friends can help you understand.
And perhaps we both agree there is still a chance I will find second apple.
Yes. I mean, I guess there's always...
We must keep hope alive.
Sure.
And you don't. You've made this clear. You don't have it.
I do not.
Have you seen anyone else have the magic apple?
No, but if you're interested in magic and talking about the magic of the apple, you might speak with Calhane.
Calhane has the second apple. The case is solved.
No, Calhane is Malwyn's...
Argo!
Malwyn's magic...
I have solved the mystery!
No, Calhane
I'm very proud of you! You're a good Fearbulk!
Arrest Calhane!
No, Calhane
for the theft of the second apple!
No, Calhane is just...
Thank you for your service to this case.
Calhane is just Malwyn's magical advisor.
I will take my leave
advisor.
In the morning.
No, it's... Okay.
Please fill out this comment card.
No, Calhane is just Malwyn's magical advisor.
Argo, release Calhane!
Got it!
Release him!
All right. I'm sorry, I apologize.
It was a prank. I was pulling a prank.
Okay. Oh, it's all good. It's fun. I like doing a role play with you. That was fun.
Now, what voice is
give
that?
Give him
Griffin?
One of the discount cards for his inconvenience.
Lord almighty.
That was Calhane.
10% off.
That is not how Calhane sounds.
Hey, it's me.
Services.
Hey, it's me, Calhane.
Hey, it's me, Calhane.
I like right. to goof
I'm
around.
A magical fella.
All right, I'm ready to take my leave of this situation.
Okay, so you meet back up with Argo and Fitzroy. So why don't the three of you make a plan of attack, as it were, of how you would like to investigate this case?
I would like to just real quick, and we don't even have to do a whole scene about it, but like if we are going to be exploring alternative solutions for this from the woods side, I would like Rhodes and Mimi and Moon to at least be, you know, trying to do the same for the mm-hmm. Centaurs of the Valley side. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that looks like sort of like figuring out sort of other ways to divine the future that they could sell them on, but just like, you know, trying to do kind of the same thing that we're doing. Otherwise, like, there's no point for us to do what we're doing.
Cool. All right. I'm going to add something to the conversation just because I feel like it's my responsibility as the CCO and also as the rogue, the thief, the, you know, shady guy in the group. We keep talking about finding a second apple and... don't we really need three apples? I mean, think about it. If we were to ultimately keep everybody happy, it'd be give an apple to one centaur tribe, give an apple to the other centaur tribe, and still take one apple back to Higginsworth.
Let me assuage your fears and confusion, Argo Keen. CCO, beloved CCO of the Thunderman LLC, you're going to steal that apple.
Am I here for this conversation?
I don't think this is something you have to lie
about. It's okay if not, because I really have to use the bathroom.
Oh, okay, then yes, so the fear wolf has seen his way out of this. Yes, okay. This took place while you were talking to Althea. One way or another, by hook or by crook, probably by crook, you're going to acquire that apple in a way that hopefully no one will see or notice, as is your custom. The question is what happens after that? Because right. if that happens and we have not sort of satisfied the client on both sides of things, there will be outright war between these two herds. And that doesn't sit like we're bad guys, but that's capital B and A and D bad. Ideal situation, you climb up that tree, which, how is your tree scaling ability?
Climbing is, I have a plus 10 and...
Wow, in that's a, wow, as we all know, we do sort
really
of numerically...
I don't see a tree climbing. I see acrobatics, would that be tree climbing?
I don't know, you could like throw a boomerang or whatever the hell, but listen... What we need you to steal that apple, and then everybody else be like, where'd the apple go? Who cares? We have all these other awesome sort of things going on. The apple right. is old news. So there's not going to be three apples. There's going to be one and then okay. zero by way of your actions. I'm hoping.
All right. I just wanted to make sure the option was out there about stealing.
It's always out there.
Yeah. Okay. I felt like I wouldn't have been doing my rogue job, you know, if I didn't at least bring it up. So, Furby, are you back?
So, the Fearbulk has returned from his meeting with Althea. It's a
weird euphemism for go to the bathroom, but okay.
How was your meeting with Althea?
And has rejoined the other Thundermen. So what's next, fellas?
Road trip.
Road trip. I think somebody needs to go talk to the Scarlet Woods God.
I think Scarlet Woods.
I don't think we should split up. That may be an unpopular opinion, but I feel like we should do whatever happens next together, because we've had a lot of us splitting up lately.
Let's go fucking talk to God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah, let me say that in character, too.
I will believe we should talk with this spirit of the Scarlet Woods if it would parley with us.
Does anyone know how to talk to a sort of intangible forest spirit? And I'm looking at you, Master Fearbolg. I hate to cast aspersions, but it seems like if one of us had done it, it would be you.
Well, if one wishes to speak with Grand Peak Smasher, he must only wake him from his deep glacial slumber and sacrifice it. I am realizing I am not allowed to tell you this. But no, I believe if the spirit of the Scarlet Woods is real, it is watching us from a distance.
Yes, yes, fantastic, fantastic. Well, let's mount up.
Yeah, and I think we all ought to go because we've already seen that there's, you know, these roads around here have got their fair share of baddies on them. So I think if we keep the party together for protection too.
And
you guys
big...
might need my keen battle skills.
Yes, and this big bag of combos isn't going to eat itself. It's no pepperoni pretzel.
You know the way to my heart.
Through combos?
Who are you?
We're on the road.
Sorry, who are you?
Oh, sorry.
I locked that tent flap.
I was just Jorsh, another centaur walking by. You like combos? Well, because centaurs are the ultimate combo.
I think that we can, wow. Okay. Oofa doofa. Physical reaction on that one. I think that we should go to wherever the there's got to be a different place where the sacrifice happens, right?
Yeah, I mean they suggested that there is a place we can go that is 3 hours from here on horseback. So let's do it.
Okay, great.
At first light, you want to sleep? Light,
yeah, you probably want to sleep. And you had mentioned wanting to talk to Rhodes and company.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to do an actual scene about that or not, or if you just wanted to get moving.
Well, I mean, then we'll just say, like, you communicate to Rhodes that, like, hey, talk to them about, do some recon on, like, what their end goal is with the divination and what we can
do. I don't want to intimate that we want to take the apple specifically, but, like, I just want their herd kind of on the same page as
yeah, I think you can phrase it as, like, What much like you asked Malwin, like, what outcome will make you feel satisfied?
Yeah.
And not just like get the apple, but like what's the end result that you are looking for?
Sure.
So you get a good night's sleep. Is there any other prep you want to do? Anything, any questions you want to ask anybody? Any food you want to gather? Any, I don't know, whatever.
I mean, I figure we will come back here after we talk to the spirit of the woods, unless of course we are destroyed by dryads or whatever the fuck the spirit of the woods has going on. So
cool. So you borrow some sturdy mounts from the centaurs.
Sorry, walk me through the ethics of this real quick.
Oh, they're just horses.
So we were offended because we thought they'd be offended by our horses, but if it's horses that are friends of theirs, it's fine.
Well, it kind of sounds like you made some assumptions about centaurs, didn't you?
I'm getting faint.
Okay. Eat a combo. That'll get your blood sugar back up. Are you okay now?
Yes, Gus. I want to go. I want to go.
Do you want to stop somewhere and get a soda for the road?
What I would love is to do the next thing in the adventure that we are all embroiled
in. Okay. You ride hard. The horses their flanks glistening with sweat beneath you as their hooves pound on the slightly damp, morning dew-covered woods. And you arrive after about 3 hours. That's horrible.
That's so horrific. Bad.
Horrific.
That sounds like a very sound. Small metal horse tripping. A steel horse tripping on some ice or something.
You arrive at the location that was drawn for you on the map by Malwin. And what you find is a stone circle inlaid in the ground in the clearing of the woods, the Scarlet Woods. And there is a ceremonial fire pit built in the middle that raises up, and then you can see a big stone bowl that is charred with generations of sacrificial flames there in the center of it. It's a fairly large bowl, I would say about 6 feet wide. So you could stand on the side and reach and touch the center, but it is, you imagine, when fully lit in, you know, the dead of night, a beautiful, beautiful pyre. But now, or here in the clearing with sunlight streaming down, it just looks like a big stone bowl, almost like a bird bath.
I would like to, this is going to sound weird, but I would like to investigate to see if if there's any remnants of previous burnings or like anything like that, if that would be possible.
Sure, go for it.
Let's see, that is 14.
14
plus zero.
Plus zero. So 140. So, sure. You
at Common Core.
Yep. You investigate, what you find is you have a pretty thick layer of char on the bowl, and then around the base, you know, it's there's been rain and dew and all that stuff, but you can see that after generations and generations, the dirt around it is slightly darker from ash and, you know, that kind of stuff, years of use. But it's been a while since, you know, a year since the last sacrifice.
Right.
And so, like, there's no discernible remnants.
Can I also do detect magic real quick?
You sure can.
I didn't know what you were waiting for.
Okay. Well, I think it's because one of you, your skin turns a color and glows, and one of you just is like, what's up?
Yeah,
and I can never remember which one.
I glow.
Okay. You detect nature magic. I mean, there is definitely, this is a magical area. Now, it is unclear to you whether this is a magical area because of some presence, or if it's a magical area because it is imbued with the magic of the sacrifice of this apple, which is clearly magical, and the belief surrounding it. But there is definitely a charge of magic in this clearing.
Okay.
This is stupid, but I just yell out like, hello? Hello? Spirit?
All three of you make a perception check for me.
Ooh, that's good. 21.
Nice.
15.
I actually rolled a nat 20.
Hey. Wow.
Sick.
And what do I add to that?
Well, nat 20, you just see straight through the woods to the other side. You can see your back as you look around the earth. So I'm going to say all of you are able to perceive that when you begin calling out in this area, there is an increased breeze. Not dramatic. Right, but suddenly you hear the wind moving slightly through the trees, the leaves, you know, rattling against each other. And you, Argo, hear, if you didn't know better, you'd think you heard blow in the breeze.
I'm assuming you fellas, did you hear something? Did you hear somebody say yes? You didn't, did you? Hello. Of whom do I have the pleasure of addressing?
I think you know the answer to that.
I'm so sorry. Could you please speak up just a little bit?
The wind whips through the trees now and says, I believe you know who I am.
That's so much better. Thank you.
What have you brought me?
Listen,
give him the combos.
Do you like road snacks? The sort of tube shaped. How do you feel about sort of processed meat pastes stuffed within a crispy, salted sort of cracker situation? Can I interest you in that? It's not really an apple. In fact, it's kind of the opposite food of an apple. And I feel like a real boob right now.
There's no answer.
That's a no on the combo. Wait, are we supposed to... Do you want us to just dump the combos in the fire pit and set them ablaze? Is that how you eat? I guess we just gotta dump the combos and set them ablaze. I think it's how they eat.
Or is this more of a blood situation?
Let's start with combos.
I know that's leaning into the stereotype a little bit of the whole sacrificial bowl and everything, but...
Right.
Start with the combos. Go with the combos.
Right. I would rather lose the combos than lose our blood, so let's start with these.
All three of you make a constitution saving throw.
Well, that's not good.
Fair. It's fair. It's fair.
11.
17 plus... 18.
This is not going to be good. 8 plus 1, that's a 9.
Okay. Both of you take 9 points of psychic damage.
Ooh, shit.
Me? And the two of you are knocked prone.
Me?
No, you saved.
You saved.
Yeah, nice.
Okay.
And which I actually find very fitting. Because one who wasn't talking mad, dumb shit about combos was untouched.
Combos are fucking good.
You said 9?
9 points.
I apologize for my compatriots, and I celebrate your discipline of them.
The wind begins to specifically circle you. Fearbulk, and you hear the whisper in your ear that says,
what have you brought me?
A question.
Ooh.
What do you want other than the apple? If there is no apple, what would you accept in exchange?
This is a big answer to a big question.
From a big fearful.
What will you trade me for the answer?
I have berries. I know you're not into combos.
I demand sacrifice.
Do you have a preference?
Something you are not easily willing to give.
You see, there is only one apple this time. Did you know this?
Then that makes it even more special.
I understand. No, this is not right. I cannot understand the heads of the gods. But I think maybe I see.
I know what you can trade me. The truth.
Go on.
All I need is is your permission
to
know the truth
about what
you. And then I will tell you the truth about me.
What do you wish to know of me?
So I have your permission?
I wish to know what I am giving up.
That is another big question.
I think that's what they call compound interest. No, I just wanted to impress you. That was.
Are we privy?
Yeah, are they hearing this?
You're hearing it, but barely, and you are both still prone on the ground.
I will give you the truth of myself. I will not give you the truth of others.
Excellent.
And you feel pressure behind your eyes for a moment. And your vision goes white for just a second. And then suddenly images flash through your head. Images of being yelled at by a larger Firbolg. Images of you being found in your home with things you are not supposed to have. Images of them turning their backs on you. Images of you wandering alone in the woods. And when it's all done, you find that you are on your knees, much like your two compatriots were.
Yes, now I understand. And now you will understand.
And you also, in this moment, it becomes clear to you that what this spirit wants is the things that are it's tough to give away. Things that are desired by others. Things that are unique, things that are important, because without that, it's not a sacrifice. It's not about the item. It's not about the giving. It's about the giving up.
I really, really, really like these combos. And our ride back is going to be miserable without
them. Make a constitution saving throw.
Oh man, that was a joke. That's a 14 plus 5.
Okay. This time it hurts a little bit, but not enough to do damage.
Yeah, fuck this spirit. Kick its ass.
Do you understand now?
Yes.
Quick.
Please keep my truth for yourself. If it is shared with others, it is less special.
Of course.
So just quick sidebar, because it did take us 3 hours to get out here, and we are looking at a 3-hour ride back, potentially without combos, depending on how this next part plays out. Does anybody have something they think that we could give them right now? Because we could go home and think about it, but boy howdy, we're talking about another 6 hours on horseback. And I don't know about you two, but my Gujar is trashed. So, any ideas?
Did you find out anything in your conversation?
What it wants is sacrifice. But if we sacrifice, then we will have the blessing of the spirit. This, I don't think, will help the centaurs. It must be a sacrifice from them, I am thinking.
Even better then. So can we go? Are we allowed to just leave, or are they gonna? Is the spirit going to sort of hurt us with wind again?
It wants nothing more from us, I think.
Cool. Cool. Well, this was cool.
Unless you want to offer a different variety of combo. Perhaps another another blast of painful magic.
Let's talk out of character for a second.
Yeah.
Are we, which I feel like we should do more so we can like actually
speak.
Yeah. I don't know that we're going to get anything more. I mean, I get it. It needs a sacrifice. I don't know. And I don't think that Trav, I don't know. And as much as you feel comfortable telling us, like, does it need to be a sacrifice from the, I feel like if we go back to the centaurs and we're like, good news, we made a sacrifice. We gave up our, you know, right arms or whatever. Everything is going to be cool. I don't think that they're going to be particularly jazzed about that.
Yeah, I think that your instinct is correct, that this needs to be them doing it to feel like they have the blessing.
Right.
I will also say, because I'm a kind and benevolent DM, you have to think in terms of, like, there has been, every year, only two of these apples in the entire world. And so to equal the sacrifice of that would take for like a blessing of a whole year would be much more significant than probably anything you're carrying on you right now.
Yeah.
Right. That was my impulse.
Okay.
Well, according to my inventory sheet, I have a bedroll and I have a 50-foot coil of hempen rope.
Oh, okay, wait, hold on. I didn't know you had a 50-foot coil of hempen rope. Those are hard to find, because you can find the 40 and the 60 easy.
Yeah, yeah, well, like, if I'm being
not enough, it's too much. Yeah.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
It was a 60-foot thing of hempen rope, but I cut off 10 feet of it to make some belts.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've never thought about doing that before. I've always just been frustrated that the 60-foot was too long. I never thought about cutting it.
No, yeah. So before I enrolled at the university, there was like a really brief season there where webbed belts were hot again. And so I tried to make a couple for myself, but it didn't. By the time I finally cracked it, they were sort of out of fashion again.
So are you heading back or?
Yes, please.
Okay. Once more, your steeds pound across the plains and that was cool, and everything's, you know, it was a good ride altogether. You rode through some glens, rode through some streams. This time you really kind of took it easy on, you know, on your taints. You didn't have to ride so hard. And you just had a nice ride together as friends.
So it was more like...
No, that sounds like a horse with, like, six legs.
More of a canter, you would say, then.
Yeah. So you arrive back at camp, and now it is the afternoon. You have a little bit more time in this D&D session. so now, armed with that information and the information you've already gathered, what other questions do you have? Who would you like to talk to now? What would you like to investigate?
Maybe Calhane?
Yeah, that seems like a good next step.
Okay. You head to Calhane's tent. It is a deep, rich purple fabric with lots of gold designs on it. You can spot it as a magic user's tent a mile away. You knock on the flap, which is awkward, but you can't think of what else to do. And the tent flaps open as if on their own. And you hear a voice say, "Yeah, come in."
So we go in.
Yeah, we go in.
Okay, you enter and you find pretty much exactly what you'd picture as like a wizard's tent. You know, there's some bottles bubbling and a cauldron stirring itself, all that kind of thing. You know, maybe some kind of weird dragon / bird sitting on a perch.
Some fucking pewter figurines.
Yeah, dude, it's sick. There's some staffs with crystals on top of them.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, dude, it absolutely rules. You see a human man sitting at a table working, and he looks up and goes, "Oh, hey, you guys must be from the school. Hi.
How's his cloak game?"
It's pretty good. It's a pretty rich, looking fabric, very thick velvet. Now, it doesn't quite fit him. It looks like maybe it was off the rack.
Oh, I just threw up.
I think Argo would like to try to get some information out of Calhane about the apples. I don't know whether to do an investigation check or persuasion.
You could just ask him.
Okay.
Just use the power of your human voice.
Hey, listen, you.
Calhane?
Calhane, good to see you. Listen, we've been nosing around. I am Argo Keen.
Oh, pleasure to meet you. And he sticks out his hands.
Good to meet you, too. Yes. I'm not shaking hands, but I mean, I give
you ill?
No. I'm just, I'm just a germaphobe.
Okay.
I'm sure you've investigated this whole apple thing. Have you come up with any reason why there's only one this year instead of two?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? From what I can tell, it just, I can't find any cause for it, magically speaking. The only thing I can think is maybe there's some kind of cycle, or I honestly don't know. If I knew, I'd tell you.
Has that ever happened before?
Well, not as far as the centaurs know. I've only been working with Malwin for like the last couple of months. It seems new to them.
Can I roll an insight check?
Sure.
I don't really, something weird about this dude. I got a 16 plus zero.
It's pretty good. He seems uncomfortable discussing the fact that he does not know why there's no apple.
Okay. What is Calhane's position here? Just like magical advisor?
Yeah, magical advisor. He's a wizard.
Okay. Calhane, listen, one magic user to another. And by the way, these pewter figurines are off the chains, my man.
Thank you.
And you have got to hook me up with your supplier. I know. I feel like you know a little bit more than you're letting on about this magic apple. And listen, I know magic stuff, but you know, you've been here longer than I have. You gotta have some sort of theories cranked up, right? Some sort of hypotheses. And that word's toughy, huh?
Well, I mean, the truth is, can I level with you guys?
Yep.
I'm at a complete loss. I don't even know where to start with, like, this magic apple thing. The tree is really weird. It's not really my area. Please don't tell Malwin this, but, like, I've been trying to, like, figure it out, but I do not know.
Well, then, we're gonna go.
Well, what do you guys know? Maybe we can, like, compare notes?
No. You're sorry, man. The vibe's all wrong. I don't know what else to say. Listen, Calhane, I don't know what else to say. And you forced my hand because I've just learned that we're not going to get anything out of this conversation. And we try to keep it sort of exciting around here. But I got to tell you, Calhane, the vibe's just all wrong, bud.
Oh, well, I mean, I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
And thank you for telling me what you need. I respect that, and your feelings are valid.
Yeah, cool.
While you're engaging him in conversation, could Argo take a quick sneak peek, just really check out the surroundings, or have we already had that with the inside check?
Yeah, so, the inside check is for a person. If you want to do an investigation.
Perception?
Investigation is what you would be doing. Now, the question is.
I want to do an investigation.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
The question is, are you trying to do it stealthily? Or do you care if he sees you looking around?
No, I want to do it stealthily.
I was about to ask another question, so maybe you could do that with advantage.
Yeah, so first, roll a stealth check with advantage.
13 plus 10. That's 23.
Man, that's so good. Now roll again with advantage. It's hard for you to get caught at shit, huh?
That is a 12 plus 10, 22.
Still good. Okay. So go ahead and ask your question. Go ahead and ask your question. Mm-hmm. And then, Dad, I'm going to have you do the investigation check afterwards.
Okay.
I wish to know something.
Yes. And you are?
I am Fjellbulk.
Oh, pleasure to meet you. And he sticks out his hand.
Yes. I shake his hand, I guess.
Make a constitution saving throw.
The tree.
Yes.
Does it ever change?
Huh.
Do the leaves turn green and grow and change with the normal ebb and flow of the suns?
Well, that I can answer. And he reaches behind him and he pulls out a book. And it's labeled, you know, the magic tree. And as he flips through it, he says, this is the centaur's log. And every year they draw the tree on one side and then list the events on the other. And it's not very interesting. It's very like bullet point, winter tree, lowered thing, got apple, that kind of stuff. But the drawings are interesting. And as he flips through, you can see that it is exactly the same. Even though it's drawn by a different person or with different material or whatever, you can see that the shape of the leaf, canopy of the tree is exactly the same every year.
That is not that informative, though, because it would be the same because it's at the same point in the year.
Yes, but it hasn't grown. Like, the shape of it, the tree has not grown
right
in hundreds of years. It has not changed.
I think we've exactly pretty well established that this is a weird fucking tree.
I think it's something different. I think it's something more than that, though. I may be completely on the wrong path, but it feels like it's, like, maybe illusory or, like, man-made. Either one of those two is the only things, like, even if it was a magical creation, right? Like, things that have a magical life still, I would think, would adhere to what we understand as, like, plant biology, right? Like, you would still, even if it was a magical tree, it would still grow and change and
right
die unless it was, like I said, illusory or actually not a tree.
And because this tree looks too symmetrical, looks too right perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what? Say I floated that, some version of that to, so I don't have to repeat myself, floated some version of that to Calhane.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing. It seems like these true trees' only purpose is as an apple delivery mechanism. I can't imagine why, other than for what the centaurs care about, but it just kind of seems like it's there just to make apples every year.
I mean, in the tree's defense, that's what sort of all apple trees are there for. An apple tree is there sort of mostly to make apples. They're not, you know, usually cranking out chili or something, you know?
No, but you misunderstand. The tree has its own life, its own rotation that must be respected. We take of the fruit, but we return to the tree. It provides shade, but also new leaves that become the dirt. The tree is part of the cycle, the circle of nature that encompasses all.
You wanted to say the other thing, didn't you?
The circle of existence, the circle of... No, but this tree is It feels like this tree is outside the circle. And that makes me afraid.
Dad, roll your investigation check.
That is a 10 plus 3. That's 13.
It's not hard for you to kind of spot as you're stealthily checking out his equipment. It is also store-bought. There's a lot of like insignias on it, like almost like you know, the barcode stickers on things. You know, you can see where he bought the vials of stuff and the robes and the staffs and all that kind of thing. It looks like they were all purchased. And you also find a diploma from Wigginstaff School for Heroism and Villainy.
Oh, Dunk, you went to Wig... Oh, wait, I guess I didn't see it.
Hmm. Okay. Oh! Hey, by the way, I see that you're a fellow alum.
Oh, yes, I graduated about 10 years ago.
Oh, what was your, hero, villain, sidekick?
I was a hero.
Oh, that's awesome. What'd you specialize in?
Magic.
Oh, don't you know Festo?
Yes, of course, they're great.
So fun. So
they love the party.
So you know then that we're here from the school and we're trying to get a good grade.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Just so you haven't done much to help us with that. We thought we'd
get a little... Sorry, I didn't catch your name.
I am Sir Fitzroy Maplecourt, Knight in Absentia of the Realm of Good Castle. And
pleasure to meet you. And I stick that hand.
See, the fact that the hand thing keeps coming out. The fact that the hand thing... You know what? I'll bones it.
Okay. That's good manners.
I bones it. Gently. Oh, the least amount of contact that you could possibly give with a bonesing.
So, anything for a fellow, you know, Wiggy?
Is that what we say?
No, I was just trying something and it didn't land.
Okay. I don't really have anything else for this dude. I think he's lying. I think he knows a lot more than he let on.
I'm going to talk out of character. Why not intimidate him? If we think he knows something else, let's push him a little bit.
Oh, shit, that's a good point. Yeah, I'm really good at intimidation.
Well?
Listen, I'm going to turn on my intimidating voice now.
Okay.
Listen, Calhane. I've told you about the vibe and how bad it is.
Yeah.
And let's just say that something stinks. And so... The three of us? Mm-mm. You don't want to. So either you start talking or we're going to hurt you. Is this anything?
I am terrified.
Yes, thank you.
I'm standing in the background twirling my daggers just, you know, idly.
Okay, make an intimidation check with advantage because you have Argo backing your play.
I have a plus 6 intimidation, and I rolled a 17 and a 3. Ooh. I will take the 17, not the 3. So that's a 23.
Okay. Listen, guys, I really need this job, okay? I was a sidekick after school, and I couldn't get a job once I graduated, and so I started doing the wizard thing just as like a performance thing, and then I got a job. I'm good at, I can do magic. I don't really know.
Press the digitate for me. Show me press the digitate. Make an odd odor.
He does it.
Okay. See, that's the test.
That may not have been magic.
That's how we...
Maybe he's very afraid.
I can do some magic. I never really learned about, like, the theory or learned about, like, how it works. And so, like, I'm doing my best. Listen, I'm doing my best. I'm not trying to half-ass this or anything, but, like, I don't know.
So, were you here when the two leaders of the two herds were engaged?
No, that was long before my time. I've only been with them for, like, a couple months.
I guess then, Kellen, do you have anything we can use? Anything? Oh, gosh.
I toss the dagger up, catch it by the handle, start cleaning my nails with it, and, like, give him this look.
I mean,
okay, you know what, Dad? Make a dexterity check.
Okay. Talk shit, get hit.
You really want to go against me on dexterity? Okay, that's fine.
I'm not against you, Dad. I'm the GM. We're in this together.
Okay, that's a nat 20.
You do it, plus and it seven. Fucking rules.
Plus seven.
It's so cool. And he says, okay, I'll tell you this. I don't think this is just based on my own. I don't think the fact that the tree only sprouted one apple is a natural occurrence.
Yeah.
I think someone's behind it.
Who?
I don't know.
He who smelted delted.
Who would gain from this? Come on.
Who would wish to sow discord between the herds?
Listen, I don't like pointing blame, but Arturus has been itching for a fight ever since Malwyn left him. At least that's what Malwyn says. And so maybe he's trying to start a war.
Well, if it is a war he wants, then we shall work to prevent that most undesirable outcome with a limited amount of violence.
If there's anything I can do to help, I don't want anyone to get hurt. I feel partially responsible because I wish I knew more about this. I wish I could help more.
And we wish you did too.
This is uniting us.
Can we hang on to the... Oh, crap.
What?
Oh? Okay. Hey, listen, good talking to you. We gotta go. Listen, love the place.
Love the
Jim Crackery and the tchotchkes.
Thank you.
But we gotta go, okay, fellas? We gotta leave now, okay?
Yeah, let's go, I guess. Thanks.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, good seeing you.
All right, we're going.
Hey, goodbye.
What was the reason for your hasty exit, Argo?
What you just said there inspired me. What if we have to get Malwyn and Arturos back together as like a couple? You just said it united us. Maybe that's what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe we've got to get Malwyn and Arturos back together so that they're one group, and then take it from there. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, but we just talked to, like, some boring bad wizard for, like, 5 minutes, and I think at some point I did threaten to hurt him. And so, like, I don't know why you think that we would be up for sort of marriage counseling.
Well, I mean, we are multifaceted. That's one of the key elements of the Thunderman Corporation is how flexible we are and how diverse we are in not only our activities, but our interests.
This was a good attempt, but please leave communications to the Communications Department of Thunderman LLC.
I am a communication. I'm the CCO.
This is a fair point. This will go on my quarterly review. It is a great shame.
All right, I guess let's go talk to Arturos then. And
where are you guys at right now?
We're just outside Callahan's tent, I think.
So as you're waiting outside, you see Althea coming, and Althea says, "Oh, I was just looking for you guys. I was wondering if you would like to have dinner with me, and just, you know, as friends."
Yeah. What are we talking?
What are we going to, I hadn't thought that far. I just figured we'd, you know, eat some food.
I know, but like I'm doing paleo, so.
And Fitzroy,
mm-hmm.
Your chest starts to feel tight. It starts to feel like there is a weight pressing against it, and it.
This is a side effect of the paleo. It's without complex carbohydrates. Oh my god! Anyone else feeling this?
It's difficult to breathe. And it feels like someone is pushing on your eyeballs, and your vision starts to go blurry and then white. And Althea says, oh God, are you okay? What's happening to you?
I think it's a heart attack. It's bad.
Althea puts her hand on your chest and says, lay down. And she closes her eyes for a moment, and her hand glows, and she says, oh no, you've been cursed.